Life comes and goes, but God's plans are bigger than your present moment, and His plans are bigger than everything that you have planned there.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Dan, bringing you truth and peace through God's Word.
In this episode, we ask the question, what is the purpose of this life?
Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell.
Now here's Pastor Dan, showing us how we can find purpose in a meaningless world. Thanks for listening.
I want to start off by sharing with you a little story. A couple of years ago in my seminary years, I was friends with a man that we ran in the same crowd. We did some of the same things. We had similar interests, but I knew that he didn't go to church, and he told us that. And he also communicated to us that he didn't think so much of God either. But I found myself working with him one day because I helped him out when he was renovating an office space and for a new business that he was going to start. And it was just he and I in the room, and he knew I was training to be a pastor at the time. I knew about what he thought about church. And so I had to ask him the question, and I asked him, so what is it that you think about church? Like, have you ever really tried it out before? And he says, oh yeah, I've tried out church before. And I said, how's your experience with that? And he said, well, there's this one time that I went to church and the pastor from the front of church said that there's a big budget shortage. And I thought to myself, oh no. And he said, and then he said that they went to the shed in the back of the field at church and they brought out the wheelbarrow. And they rolled the wheelbarrow up and down the aisle at church. And the pastor said, we're not going to stop this wheelbarrow until it's full. And I thought to myself, whoa, I laughed out loud. And he said, from then on, I stopped going to church. And I said, I probably wouldn't go back to that church either if I were you, I admit. And I said, I'll admit, you know, churches are crummy. You know, some of them are. And sometimes we get burned by church. And I asked him the next question. I said, well, what do you think about God and the Bible? Have you read the Bible? And he said, I've read parts of the Bible before. And he says, you know, although I can't say I agree with all of it, that one book, Ecclesiastes, that book gets it right, man. He would say that a lot, man. That book gets it right. And you know what? I agree with him. Ecclesiastes, if you've never read it, it takes about 40 minutes to read from start to finish. It gets it right because it tells it just how it is, whether you have been burned by church before, or whether you are skeptical of God, or whether you are a lifelong church goer and you just want to learn about how things work in this world. Whoever wrote this, he gets it because he's been there. He's been in this world and he's experienced everything in this world. The book Ecclesiastes, the name itself is actually a Greek translation of the first Hebrew word of the book, teacher, Qohelet in the Hebrew. And that's who is speaking throughout this book. It's maybe a dinner speech, some commentators speculate, but it's written very well. It's written by somebody that at the beginning of the book says that he is the son of King David in Jerusalem. And do you know who that is? Who do we speculate wrote this book? Solomon. What is Solomon known for? His great wisdom, and he's even published throughout the book of Proverbs as saying these great things, world famous for his knowledge, world famous for his endeavors. Today he would be known as somebody like an explorer, an inventor, a patron of the arts. He built huge gardens that were famous, oriental gardens that kings would build back then, and he would build palaces of Jerusalem. He was the king during the heyday of Israel, and he didn't spare any expense to get whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted it, and do whatever he wanted to do. Proof of this was this one time when the Queen of Sheba, she made a state visit to Israel just to hear him talk. And when she came to hear him talk, she said at the end of her visit that she had only heard rumors of the great things that he said, but when she heard him speak, it was twice as good as any kind of rumors that she heard. And then she said, and the wealth and the buildings and the endeavors and the arts that this man that he throws himself into, she basically said, he's the most interesting man in the world, okay? And that's coming from the Queen of Sheba. Wow. He didn't spare any expense, money, resources to discover the animal life, the plant life, the whatever it is. And so when he writes the book of Ecclesiastes, he's like the student of the world, the expert student of the world that has his PhD in the world. Unfortunately, at the end of his life, he had poured himself so much into the world, and he had invested in it so much that he'd begun to believe the philosophies and the false religions that the world had propagated. He had married many, or at least had many, many women in his harem that brought many different ideas from all over the world, including false ideas about God, into his life, and he began to believe it. And at the end of his life, God said to him, because you've turned away from me and you've turned to all of these other false gods, I'm going to take this kingdom away from you when you're gone. I'm going to give it to somebody else. And from that time on, if you read through the rest of the history of Israel, you know about the kings? Not so good. In fact, there were a lot of bad kings after Solomon as a consequence of him turning away from God. And so this is his he's at the end of his life. He's perhaps looking into the mirror of God's law, and he's realizing everything that he's turned away from in God. And he's basically writing, and this is his hypothesis of Ecclesiastes, you can have everything, but you can lose the most important thing. You can have everything, but you can lose it all, so to speak. And so he speaks that way throughout the book. Now, why does my friend that I was renovating the office space with, why does he like this book? And why do people of all sorts of different religious, ethnic backgrounds identify with this book? It's because Solomon has walked in those shoes before. He's walked in the shoes of just living on this earth, underneath the sun, he calls it, and taking in everything he can, trying to find the meaning of life without God. He's been down that path before, and now he's going to write about it. And we're going to hear about it today, too. One of the most famous chapters in Ecclesiastes is right here in chapter 3. And again, the whole book talks about how arbitrary things are in life, and maybe arbitrary things have happened to you recently too. He talks about things like bad things happen to good people and good things happen to the crooks. I mean, it's wild. There's people that you don't expect. I mean, a TV celebrity becoming president of the United States. I mean, and then you have other people that maybe they're really bad people and they get a raise, or maybe they're really good people and they get let off for no good reason. It's senseless, life on this earth, life in this world, he says. And then he says this, he says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. You can just look right down the list. There's a time for everything, verse 1 says. And maybe you've seen this in your lifetime, or maybe you've just seen it in 2017. But we've had these times and these seasons in our life that they come and they go. A time to be born. We've had births, maybe in your family this last year or last 2 years. We've had deaths. Just as recently as yesterday, we had a Christian victory service for a man, John Anklam, that passed away, leaving his wife and his little baby girl. A time to pass away. There's a time in life to tear down and time to build up. We've begun new endeavors at church, or we become in a new position at work, and we're starting something new at home, and we've put an end to other things in our church life, in our community life, or in our home life, to start something new. That's part of life under the sun. And there's a time to speak. You heard that especially this year. There's been a lot of people in the news that have been speaking up against crimes that have been done against them over the years, perhaps, by people in positions of authority who push their authority on other people. And it was a huge theme in 2017, the voices of the victims speaking up. And there's a time to be silent, because there's sometimes there's no answer for the things that you're asking. There's a time for war and a time for peace. There's a time right now that we're calling for nations to put down nuclear arms because they could destroy entire nations. There's a time to hate. There's a time to hate the idea that people are out there in this world taking innocent lives for no good reason at all. That's something good to hate. That's just to hate. And there's a time to forgive, and there's a time to mend, and there's a time to bring peace. This is life under the sun. Now, you stop right here with these verses, and you might think to yourself, and some commentators say about these verses, this writer, Qohelet, he's just telling you the way that it is under the sun, and you really can't do anything about it. Nobody can. It's just deterministic. This is the way it is. Good things happen to bad people. There's good times. There's bad times. There's injustices. There's justices sometimes, but not always. And this is just life under the sun. And you end there. The philosophy goes like this. If that's the way life really is and I can't control what's going to happen to me and I can't control whether the good times are going to come, death or life or whatever it is, the theology of life is then? What's the purpose? What's the meaning of life? Have you ever heard this before? The purpose of life, you'll hear people, because of the truth like this that they believe in, is be true to yourself and don't hurt others. That's all you can really do in this world. Be true to yourself and don't hurt anyone. And I agree with that. Life under the sun. I was flying from Austin to Milwaukee this summer on a trip. There in front of me, in downtime, there was that magazine, Sky Magazine. I don't know if you've seen that one before. It's the magazine famous for coming with its own air sickness bag. And not because of the magazine, I don't think. But anyways, I picked it up, and the feature article on it had James Corden. Do you know who James Corden is? Have you heard of him before? Have you seen him on TV? He's the host of the Late Late Show on CBS. And he's funny. He's good. He has a story himself about his life overcoming odds, and he made it to the screen, and he made it to late night. In the famous for his front seat celebrity karaoke, where he gets even A-list celebrities to sing along with him, and they make him laugh. It's a really good show, and he's full of life. You can tell that he's a man of this world. He gets it. He gets people. And so the interviewer asks him in this article, what is the meaning of life? Kind of like what Solomon's trying to answer here. And he gets to it in the interview, and he says this. I thought this was extremely interesting. He says, the only thing that ever exists is this, right now. Everything behind you is gone. Everything in front of you is unknown. So if you can try to just be the best version of yourself at all times, whether that's being the best husband, boyfriend, fiance, host, interviewer, interviewee, if you're just trying to be the best the moment that you're in, your life will be utter fulfillment. Agree? You have to agree with that in the life under the sun. Because if this is all that there is, you had better be the best that you can be in every moment that you can be. And he's right. That's life under the sun. That's life as it is on this earth. In fact, if you think Solomon disagrees, he actually agrees with it in verse 12. We keep on reading, and he says this, what do workers gain for their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And then verse 12 says, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Whoa, he's sounding a little bit like a late night comedian. And if you think that this is an anomaly in the Bible, that Solomon is saying this, Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, he says this. He says, this is what you need to do while you live on this earth. He says, do unto others as you would have them what? Do to you. And then he says, this is the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. Now, you're scratching your head and you're thinking, now if an ancient king and a carpenter's son from Israel and a late night comedian all agree on the same thing, there's got to be something there. There's got to be a truth there somewhere. And you're right, there is a truth there somewhere. There is a code that's written on every human heart. They all didn't have the same teacher, but they all had the same code written on their heart in some way, shape, or form. It's like a ribbon that goes throughout every human being. And it says this. It says, I yearn for justice for myself and for another person. I yearn for fairness for myself, and I wish that this whole world were just as fair. I yearn for mercy and forgiveness and grace for myself, and I want to project that, and I want to be that, and I want this whole world to have that too. Solomon said it. Jesus said it. Even people today that don't recognize God say it. But how are we going to get that fairness, and how are we going to get that justice? Where does that ribbon come from? Where is that code? Where does it come from? Solomon says this, and this is where he breaks from the traditional line of thought that you heard from the late night comedian that this is all that there is. He says this. He says, it was put there by God. It had to come into your life by the divine, and it's put there when he says he has also set eternity in the human heart, that God has put something in our heart that wants justice and equity and fairness for ourselves, for others, and for this whole world. It doesn't come from science. And I'm not dissing you if you believe in science. I mean, science is real. I have a liberal arts degree. It's real. But it doesn't come from science, because science would say this, that we all evolved, and we're all evolving at some rate, and that it's survival of the fittest. It's not do unto others as you would have them do to you. It's my tribe versus your tribe, and I'm going to put you down to raise me up. It's not science that said that those people in the power positions this last year who used their authority to suppress somebody, a sexual predator that's in a position of authority, for instance. Science wasn't the one that said that that's wrong. Science says that's the nature of the beast. But it's God who puts this law into our hearts. A theological term is the opinio legis, the opinion of the law, that says you must do unto others as you want them to do to you. You want fairness, and I want fairness. This world is crazy. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. And Solomon says, and yet the human heart yearns for more. C.S. Lewis once said something like, because all of us have all these unfulfilled dreams, and we do, year to year, because we have unfulfilled dreams that will never be fulfilled, that means that we've been made for a different world. Where do we find the justice? We find it in God. And so whether globally you have a bleeding heart for immigrants, or whether you have prayers for people in another nation that are being suppressed by a terrible communist regime that puts them in camps, that desire that you have for them to have justice is a good thing. It is. And the justice maybe that you're lacking in your life, maybe you've been burned by a family member, or you've been burned by a spouse, and you feel injustice even in your own life, and you want justice again. Do you know that God sees everything? He sees it all. He set eternity in the heart, and then he says in Romans, leave revenge up to me, for it is mine to repay, says the Lord. He sees everything, and he is the perfect judge of all things, and he will judge. But then he flips the coin and he says this, if you want justice for everybody else, and you want fairness and all of these things that the human heart desires, all the unfulfilled dreams, how well have you been doing as a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, fiance, interviewer, interviewee? Because if you're going to come to my courtroom as God, and I'm going to give you perfect justice, all of that justice that you desire around you, you also are going to have to project to other people perfectly all the time. That's why Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do to you all the time. And if you do that, you fulfilled everything that God asks you to do. Now let me ask you, how well have you done in the last year on that? Not just being the perfect person, but trying in your heart with every desire and every fiber of your body. That leads us to something else. We're going to need something that's called grace and forgiveness, the very thing that we want for the whole world, we want for ourselves, and the only place that you can find it, you're not going to find it in the life under the sun, you're only going to find it, Solomon says, with God. Verse 14 says this, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. So life comes and goes, but God's plans are bigger than your 2017. They're bigger than your present moment, and his plans are bigger than your 2018 and everything that you have planned there. They're bigger than your New Year's resolution, and here is his plan. I'm going to tell you his plan by telling you a story. There's this one time in Matthew chapter 12 that Jesus is confronted by the religious leaders of his time. They were asking him, because he was making big claims and saying that he was God, they asked him, can you give us some sort of sign that you're from God? And Jesus said, no, that's ridiculous. That's like asking me to do a magic trick. It's petty. It's something that unbelievers ask for. And he says, I'm not going to give you a sign like that. He said, but the sign that you'll receive is this. Just like Jonah, and he was referring to an Old Testament figure, was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the ground for 3 days and three nights, and then will be raised again. He was talking about his death and resurrection. And then he said, but you're still not going to believe that. He told them that. And then he said, shortly after that, the queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now, something greater than Solomon is here. And some translations get it right. Instead of saying something, they say someone greater than Solomon is here. Do you know what he's talking about? What is he talking about? He's talking about himself. You see, he's saying, you people, you're in awe of this book of Ecclesiastes and the Proverbs and everything that Solomon wrote about. And we are. Even today, my friend, going back to the opening story, is in awe of this. You can take in the whole world. You can spare no expense to experience everything, start every business that you want to, go on every endeavor that you want to, have every woman that you want to. And at the end of it all, you can write this brilliant phrase, vanity, meaningless. And then the whole world's going to go, whoa, that's brilliant. That's exactly right. This is all meaningless. And you can be a queen that travels halfway across the world on a state visit just to take in the knowledge of Solomon, because he's so brilliant and his kingdom is so wise, and he's such a great, the most interesting man in the world. People came and visited him because of the wisdom that he is. But Jesus says this, there's a wisdom, and here's another term from 2017, that breaks the glass ceiling of life under the sun. The one thing that gives you purpose and meaning, he says, that's even greater than Solomon's wisdom is me. What greater thing is there on this earth in life under the sun than to have a relationship with God? And yet, Jesus says, if you see me, you have the whole purpose of life on this earth. Because everything else is passing away. There's births, there's deaths, there's promotions, there's layoffs, there's all of these different things. But if you have me, you have the one thing that's certain, not just on this earth, but into eternity. He wasn't like Solomon, stuck up in a palace that would read a speech from a dais to a large group of people. He was born in a feeding trough to a low-income family. You could go up to him and his family without a reservation. The Queen of Sheba traveled halfway across the world on a state visit, and all of her cabinet had to get an audience with the cabinet of Solomon before she could even have access to him. And yet Jesus is saying, I'm bringing you access to God without an appointment. All it is believing. And he walked among us, and he was accessible, and you could touch him, and you could feel him, like that woman that touched his robe and was healed immediately. And finally, Solomon spared no expense to get anything that he wanted. But this wisdom, Jesus, he spared no expense to give you his life, to bring you to God. There's no greater wisdom than that under the sun. So now your purpose is changed, and the way that you view life is changed. When he died on the cross, he died for every time that you weren't the perfect husband, wife, fiance, interviewer, interviewee. and he blew the law apart in a good way. So do you want justice for everything that didn't happen in the last year, for yourself and for other people? It's met at the cross. Do you want grace and mercy and forgiveness for yourself and every person in this world? It's there at the cross, and it's free. And it's for you to live out every moment of every day from here to eternity, because Jesus gives you eternity. That's the meaning of life under the sun. The glass ceiling has been broken, not by you or anything that you have done, but by God who came into your world and says, now I give it meaning and purpose. So you go back to verses 1-8 again, and you read them in a whole new light. Not in the light that this is just a deterministic, fatalistic, it's going to happen or not going to happen, but as you read through it, you think to yourself, a baby is born. What's my purpose? To bring that baby to who? To Jesus. As a grandparent, as a parent, as an uncle, as an aunt, or wherever God has put you in that little child's life, a baby is born, there is a new life. The purpose of your life is to get that baby to Jesus. There is a death. What's your purpose? To be there for that family, of that loved one that passed into heaven, to give them Jesus. To live, like Solomon says, in fear of God and in faith in God, in everything that you do. Do you see how Jesus changes your purpose? Do you see how he gives you something on this world, in this world, in a meaningless world, to give it purpose and to give it meaning in my life and in your life? God created every season in life, and he ruled over your 2017. He will rule over your 2018 as well. But remember that in everything that he does, to fear, love, and trust, and to share him in those moments. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.